Welcome back to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. I am so excited about the show that we have ahead of us. We have some phenomenal information that could save lives. I am Dr. Michael Karlfeldt, and with me I have my co-host,
Tanya Hobo.
You're going to need to tune in to what's going on today. The information is jam-packed, so don't step away.
So excited. Let's go ahead and get this started.
Welcome to an hour of HealthMade Radio. HealthMade is a community for natural health seekers where we educate people about common health conditions and share extensive research on the most effective natural health treatments and promote legislation that protects our health freedoms. I'm Dr. Michael Karlfeldt, and I will be your host. Today's guest is Heiner Fruhaus. Heiner Fruhaus has researched Chinese culture and medicine for 40 years and was originally trained as a sinologist at the Department of East Asian Languages and Civilizations at the University of Chicago. Due to personal health challenges, he engaged in the full-time study of the clinical aspect of Chinese medicine in 1989. After several years of postdoctoral studies in Chengdu, he founded the College of Classical Chinese Medicine at National University of Natural Medicine in Portland, Oregon. His interest in preserving some of the traditional features of Oriental medicine led him to develop a database dedicated to the archiving of classical knowledge where a selection of his publications can be accessed. That is at classicalchinesemedicine.org. His strong belief in the clinical efficacy of Chinese herbal medicine led him to establish the Haishan Center, a clinic in the Columbia River Gorge specializing in the treatment of difficult and recalcitrant diseases. Out of concern over the rapidly declining quality of medicinals from mainland China, he founded the company Classical Pearls that specializes in the import of wildcrafted and sustainable grown Chinese herbs. You can find that at classicalpearls.org. Heiner, it's such an honor to have you on the show, and all the knowledge and information that you bring to us to help us get well and navigate through a lot of different complicated health issues.
The honor is all mine. Thank you for having me.
So I read in the bio here, you're talking about that there are certain health challenges that guided you towards this. I mean, obviously, being a sinologist, that is quite far away from now being a doctor. So what was going on in your life that brought you to this place?
Yeah, this is a good question. I was born into a family of German physicians of the natural medicine persuasion. And as the oldest son of the oldest son of the oldest son, I was somewhat expected to continue that lineage. And growing up in the 60s and 70s, I naturally wanted to rebel and forge my own path and studied something that was considered outlandish at the time, which was Chinese language and culture, and was one of the first Germans to go to China after that post-cultural revolution wall came down in 1982, and met my American wife, and then went to the University of Chicago, as you just mentioned, and was all set to embark on this career in Chinese literature and culture and philosophy, and already had a job as a professor at the East Coast University when, as a young man at age 28, I was diagnosed with cancer, completely unexpected, and that kind of gave me pause, and I figured I had to get my health back first, and that brought me back to China, where I remembered the Chinese medicine modalities that are very powerful, also very interesting intellectually to me. And I got so, while I was at a point in my career where I thought, I'm finally there. I've trained 10 years for this to become a professor in this field. it was a little bit of a shock to think I'm embarking on something completely different. But then I realized that Chinese medicine is founded upon the foundation of Chinese culture, and that it was my previous study that actually enabled me to go deeper into that cultural background than most practitioners who are working in this field in the West at the moment. So what seemed like a disaster at first then turned into something that seemed like it fit well together after all later.
I was growing up in a family where the traditional medicine is so strong, and then now you're battling something so as severe as cancer. I mean, wasn't there a little bit of a fear of not following what I'm assuming your family was putting a lot of pressure on you to do that type of treatment, and then here you are going into something that in their mind would be unproven?
Yeah, actually, my family was strongly encouraging me to use, natural modalities. While they were somewhat alien to them, it was really the naturalness of the treatment that was much more important to them. My grandfather had a homeopathic hospital, and he made homeopathic remedies himself. He made stem cell remedies himself. I remember he had like goats, et cetera, and other animals in the backyard from whom he would extract stem cells, et cetera, when I was little, and harvested herbs in the forest. He would have rheumatoid arthritis patients sit in anthills. So he was super radical when it came to the naturalness of the treatment. And he believed if you get an X-ray, your descendants 300 years down the road will still suffer from that. So at that point, my grandfather had already passed away, but my father was sort of carrying that torch. And he was very supportive, actually, in not pursuing radiation and chemotherapy and just doing the Chinese medicine. And I felt supported by that, and but the strongest support I received was by a Korean medicine practitioner on Lawrence Avenue in Chicago, who constantly felt my pulse and said, "Your immune system is strong. Don't let them destroy that." So at a time when I needed it in most and felt very weak and vulnerable, that was much needed help and support nearby.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So one of the things that you really fascinated me with reading through everything that you're doing, I mean, you're bringing so much light and the power of the Chinese medicine, but there's this syndrome that you came across that I'd never heard about before. It's called the Gu syndrome. What is that, and how does that fit into Chinese medicine, and how did you go about finding that out? How did you discover that?
Yeah, that is definitely something that fits into this story of that sinological background. I wouldn't have been able to unearth this very valuable clinical information if it wasn't for my ability to read those classical texts. Chinese medicine, first of all, is a very old medicine that was there long before Western medicine. It's sort of like Ayurvedic medicine. It's a science in its own right with its own diagnostic parameters and therapeutic modalities. It's not just acupuncture as we think nowadays. It's herbal medicine, it's hydrotherapy, it's visualization, it's meditation, it's breathing exercises, and of course, a very rich tradition of herbal medicine. And within those parameters that involve, feeling the pulse and asking questions, et cetera, there is a very strong focus on not so much the outside, like a bacteria or a virus or an invader that you need to eliminate or kill off or avoid, but much more what does your immune system do with that, and has therefore developed a very sophisticated system of determining at what stage of your immune system is that external threat, and then treating it accordingly. So they have like a whole language that is symbolic to describe this, these states like liver qi, stagnation, spleen qi deficiency, Shaoyang syndrome, etc. So, and this Gu syndrome is even within this sophisticated and complex science that is completely different from the parameters of Western medicine, is something unique in that you could describe it as complexity syndrome, or the neat categories, it's in the Taiyang layer or the Shaoyang layer, or it's in the liver or the spleen, do not apply, but it is describing a syndrome where, to begin with, the patient's immune system is severely deficient. In ancient times, maybe because of malnutrition or exposure to cold, etc. In modern times, it would be more because of genetic causes or too many antibiotics during childhood or poor diet, etc. And then contracting, which is completely normal because every breath we take, we inhaling bacteria, viruses, yeast spores, etc., that these are all a normal part of our environment that our immune system actually needs to exercise itself and function properly. We do not want to live in an antiseptic environment. It's all information that surrounds us. And so when we are exposed then to parasitic organisms, whether it is a virus or that we inhale, or whether it is an amoeba that we comes into our system with a food, if our immune system is healthy, in the case of the amoeba, for instance, the stomach acid is supposed to just, like a battery acid, just completely obliterate that, and there won't be an issue. Whereas in somebody who's weak to begin with and the stomach pH is too high and not acidic enough, then it moves on to the small intestine, where then this pathogen can chronically unfold itself. And then in addition to that, there is an overreaction of the weakened body that then can cause autoimmune diseases. So we have like three different problems on top of each other. We have an external pathogen, we have a deficiency of the immune system, and then we have an overreaction of that deficient immune system. That, in a nutshell, I think is what Gu syndrome is about. And when I came back from my second time in China, when I primarily studied the medicine, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and was sort of confident that Chinese medicine can cure everything, I encountered several patients who, based on the pulse and the symptoms, particularly digestive symptoms, chronic diarrhea, etc. I remember my very first patient of that sort was a mountain climber who looked very healthy but had chronic diarrhea ever since he climbed Mount Everest and witnessed seven climbers with him falling to their death. And he was so stressed at that moment that he immediately, within 10 minutes, got diarrhea, and it never disappeared. And based on his pulse, I thought this is a very clear Banxia Xi Xin Tang, which means Pinellia purge the heart decoction syndrome. It made him better for 2 days, but then it returned. And then I met several other clients like that, and it so frustrated me that this system that I had learned wasn't fully working, that I took a 2-week break and just hit the books at the time, immersing myself in the classics of Chinese medicine. There are about 2,000 years of continuous stream of literature, and and finally found this GU syndrome that matched the symptoms that those patients were exhibiting. And I started using these very complex remedies that were recommended there with a reasoning that I hadn't really fully encountered before, because it had that level of complexity, so many herbs in it, used in such high numbers, used in unusual combinations, that from the perspective of my normal training, I didn't fully understand that. But then once I started using it, all of a sudden it started producing results. And then I never looked back. I've been using this approach and these remedies now for modern patients with similar symptoms, not just in the digestive system, but in the nervous system, you know, for problems like fibromyalgia and, you know, people feel like I've had a flu for 20 years and nobody knows what's wrong with me. And people with Lyme disease, of course, now people with the post-corona situation is a typical GU syndrome. Perhaps also HIV/AIDS is another example of what could be GU syndrome potentially in modern times. And gathered experience with how to use these remedies in a modern context now for 20 plus years, and am extremely grateful to the this long lineage of Chinese medicine that has so many variegated approaches within it that are not represented at all in the not only in the approaches of Western medicine, but also of standardized approaches to Chinese medicine in the West.
I love that. What a powerful story. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Health Made Radio. I'm here with Heiner Fruhauf, and we're discussing something called GU syndrome that may sound odd, but it's extremely applicable with what's going on in the world right now. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Health Made Radio. This is Dr. Michael Karlfeld. I'm here with Heiner Fruhauf, and we are discussing something that sounds odd, but it is really important to understand, and that is called the GU syndrome. So, Heiner, you were mentioning that this is a kind of a complex type of scenario, and then you were mentioning that this was applicable to what we're dealing with, a pandemic right now. So the kind of traditional medicine, you're looking at one disease, one cure, you know, where you're seeing the COVID and here's the cure for that. So you're saying that it is much more complex than that?
Absolutely, yes. In Chinese medicine in general, and I would venture the little bit I know about other Western holistic medicine approaches from my grandfather and father, the most important thing is individualized treatment. So one is much less interested in some external trigger or pathogen like strep or the Zika virus or now coronavirus, but much more interested in what the body does with that and then treating that in highly individualized fashion. So Chinese medicine in general already has that. And then in this GU syndrome, of course, we have this similar idea that there is a much greater focus on the immune system itself and what it does with, or how it potentially may overreact to an external stimuli, rather than trying to kill off something that is perceived by Western medicine as the cause of the disease, like in this case now, the coronavirus. As we well know, after a year and a half, that there are many, many people who do not have even any symptoms, like my almost 90-year-old father-in-law, who has MS and severe heart problems. He, in the nursing home, was diagnosed with positive for the coronavirus. He didn't even sneeze. He didn't have any symptoms at all, even though, according to the statistics, he would have been the perfect candidate for being severely ill from that. So we know that we have the same stimulus, the same virus, but one person doesn't have any symptoms, other people have mild flu-like symptoms, and other people have severe symptoms that can be potentially life-threatening, and then lead to death or a long-ranging autoimmune issues can be compared to Lyme disease and fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome, etc. And so that the difference there is not that there is exposure to different viruses, but different condition of the immune system. And this is precisely what is so brilliant about the Goose syndrome approach, that the different physicians in Chinese medicine have transmitted to us nowadays. And that is, while there are certain antiviral or antiparasitic herbs in there, including the well-known herb Qinghao Artemisia wormwood and others like it, for the most part, there are herbs in there that are supporting the patient's immune system, both calming down the overreaction as well as supplementing or tonifying the immune deficiencies that the patient has, and then proposing sort of a long-term therapy that is not only constantly giving that person antipathogenic herbs, which are less harmful than modern drugs to the liver and kidney, but are sort of food grade. Honeysuckle is perhaps the best example there. But at the same time, sort of recharging the battery, the emptiness of which is primarily responsible for this compromised immune state that then causes these overreactions that the patient is in. And in the Goose approach, interestingly, comes from a branch of Chinese medicine that is called the epidemic school, where individual symptoms are less important than normally in Chinese medicine. Chinese medicine is a little bit like homeopathy that way, where, you know, you need to dial very specifically your approach to the constitution of the patient, whereas here one considers, here is this overall parasite triggering overreaction of the immune system in a deficient patient type of syndrome, and we can use similar kind of herbs, like in one remedy that I research at length is called Jiajian Suhe Tang, which is modified perilla leaf and mint decoction from the 1700s. And those are all herbs that are very readily available. And so you can, for instance, in the case of the current pandemic, where there are lots of similar symptoms, like the loss of smell, the blockage of the throat, and then the immediate threat to the nervous system and the heart. And there's like five or six different layers of herbs in there that are preempting this deepening of the pathological process. And of course, it works better the more individually this is tailored to the individual needs of the patient. But there is definitely great similarities. Prompting the Chinese of the doctors of the epidemic school in ancient times, quite literally, to cook up what they called a daguo tang, like a big cauldron of herbal medicine in the village square, and everybody would drink the same thing to either prevent or heal people from an existing pandemic hundreds of years ago. And we found that with the patients we've been seeing during this year and a half of the pandemic, that this is a similar scenario where you can use these kind of boo remedies for the prevention and treatment of these, particularly these long-hauling effects that we constantly hear about in the news.
Right. Yeah, I have so many follow-up questions, but let's take a quick break. You're listening to HealthMade Radio. I'm here with Heiner Fruhauf. We are discussing the goo syndrome and how that is applicable to what we're facing today. We'll be right back. Welcome back to HealthMade Radio. I'm Dr. Michael Karlfeldt. I'm here with Heiner Fruhauf, and we are discussing Chinese medicine and how powerful that is to deal with such complex conditions, such as what we are looking at now, you know, the long hauler effect from the coronavirus. So if I'm hearing you right, because obviously, you know, we're all thinking that it is this one pathogen and that is what's causing all of these things. But what you are saying, it is much more than that. So you actually need to look at the individual themselves. When you're looking at this goo syndrome, it's not like there's just one factor. There's all these other factors that come into play. And by addressing all these other factors, you know, the one little vector, you know, such as, you know, in this case, the coronavirus, will not really have that strong of an impact.
Yes, absolutely correct. It's, in general, it's my experience of working not only in the College of Classical Chinese Medicine here in Portland, but also in a bigger university of natural medicine where other holistic modalities are being used, that I think all holistic medicines around the world, they share that it's much more important what we do with an external stimulus than what the nature of that stimulus is in itself, not just in the physical realm or in the realm of viruses and bacteria and parasites, but also in everyday life, right? There's somebody who comes and, you know, rams your car from behind. There is a fight, accusations of lung, and one person gets completely anxious and has a psychotic break, and another person thinks, wow, life is interesting. How is this happening? And another person is amused, and another person feels gratitude that they have an opportunity to meet another person this way. So there are completely different reactions to life situations in general, and that is what holistic medicine, I think in general, Chinese medicine especially, is focused on, is how can we tweak our reactivity, how can we master our system, because there'll always be another bacteria, another pathogen, another virus, another parasite, another kind of anxiety-causing emotional threat, and you can never ensure yourself in completely insulating yourself from that. As modern people, we are a little bit feel entitled through insurance companies, etc. We think we can control everything, whereas in the holistic medicine, I would say ancient cultural approach in general as a way of life is much more, how can I cultivate myself that no matter what comes my way, I can transform it, I can digest it, I can even turn something that looks negative and threatening and potentially debilitating, turn that into something that ends up being positive by enhancing my transformational capacities.
And then, like you mentioned, we're not meant to live in a sterile environment. And you said, you know, every breath we're taking, you know, we're inhaling pathogens. Everything we're touching, obviously, we're inhaling we're getting pathogen on us. You know, when we're hugging, you know, we're getting other people's pathogens. I mean, that's just part of life. So there's no way, obviously, to protect ourselves from all of that. And these pathogens, they actually give us then information. I mean, they actually train our immune system and they make our system stronger and wiser, right?
Yeah, as some colleagues who understand more about that thing, that sort of thing from a Western perspective, have pointed out repeatedly in the last year and a half, that not only do we slowly understand the importance of the microbiome and what it does, not just for our digestion and our immune system, but that there is also something that we could term or has been termed the virome, meaning quite literally on the size of a plate in front of you on your desk, or as we are talking right now, we both have 100 billion viruses in that small space. And that is a perfectly normal phenomenon and is actually necessary for our health, because viruses are sort of naturally exuded by living bodies, ourselves, as well as trees, as well as animals. And when there is a certain stress on the environment, then the viruses get exuded and put in the atmosphere to then again stimulate, almost like being sort of like a software update for our system. So that modern insight into what viruses are, for instance, some people have pointed out that we wouldn't be able as mammals give birth, that the existence of a placenta only happened because of a viral genomic update. And this kind of recognition fits very well into the ancient holistic view that also the ancient Chinese had of how in nature everything is connected. There are certain years where it rains more, it'll produce more specific diseases during that year, but the plants that heal those diseases, they grow particularly abundant during that year, so that there will be a balance in terms of how we can, nature itself produces a cure for us to rebalance ourselves. So in a certain way, viruses are part of our external environment that are not a threat to us, but are, we know too little about it, of course, but that are part of the fabric of reality, and we wouldn't be here without them. And the question is just, how do we, particularly as we are disturbing our natural environment more and more with the things that lead to climate change, more frequent quote-unquote updates need to be made to our own genome to withstand that. And that those updates, as we know from our own computers, particularly if the computer is old or has problems, then it's not as smooth, for some people at least, as in others. So the holistic medicine perspective, the one of Chinese medicine especially, is always maximize the integrity and the flexibility of our own immune system, that we can interface with nature in the most smooth and dynamic and natural way possible. If we start interfering with drugs particularly, then we might interrupt those processes, and we focus on just one thing when there are really quite literally billions of processes happen all at once in the body that the body's intelligence needs to orchestrate. And by just focusing on one thing and say that's it, it's this virus that makes us sick, then we are possibly interfering negatively with the body's ability to heal itself and regulate itself. That is sort of the one of the number one problems from my perspective of our over-medicated world nowadays.
Yeah, so it's if I'm hearing you right, it sounds more like instead of being afraid and isolating yourself and then trying to kill, you know, everything possible that you think is pathogenic. It is more about than being connected and opening yourself up for the information that's available, and then also interacting so that that information can be then shared from one individual to another or from the environment to an individual, and that these things like bacteria and viruses are part of that process to educate us.
Absolutely. I completely agree with that summary there. And it's good that you mentioned the fear factor right now. I think much more than the virus itself, it is the fear that is the most dangerous disease right now. My grandfather in the 1940s wrote a book that's called Cancer is Not Invincible. And the first line in that book, of course, in German at the time, was cancer is not the problem, it's the fear of the cancer. And I feel the same is true as we are sort of a year and a half into the pandemic right now. The CDC itself has published a list of the comorbidity factors of people who diagnosed with COVID and then pass away from that. And other than the obvious heart disease and diabetes and weight issues, we have anxiety is right up there. From a Chinese perspective, and the Chinese medicine includes a system of energetic, not just diagnosing the human body, but diagnosing nature by looking at a cyclicity of 60 years. And it's interesting that this year Gengzi in that cycle, which was 2020, together with the previous 60-year cycle in 1960 and 1900 and 1840, always saw a particular energetic imbalance in nature that weakened this, what we could from a modern Western perspective call the immune battery in the system. In Chinese medicine, it would be called the kidney system. And in nature, makes the weather warmer, number one, and number two, benefits the proliferation of certain more intense type of pathogens. So there's always natural disasters, there's always pandemics, and there is political anxiety and upheaval. So that is, I find very interesting. And we, again, in this cycle, were not only are we already our own kidneys, our own batteries, and our immune system compromised because of this external weakness in nature of the same system. The ancients always said, as above, so below, as in the macrocosm of nature, so in the human being. And but because of the pandemic, because of this constant news that, you know, it's the all of these different variants and now the Delta variant and it's still not over. And that kind of news is making that already weak situation even weaker. And if anything contributes when people are confronted with the virus, that they would get sicker as if they were just in a completely calm state. So I think that is one of the things that is right now a bit overlooked in an overall atmosphere of fear-provoking messaging.
Yeah, I fully agree. And take a quick break. You're listening to Health Made Radio. I'm here with Heiner Fruhauf. We are discussing the goose syndrome, Chinese medicine, and how it is very applicable to what's going on today. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Health Made Radio. I'm Dr. Michael Karlfeldt. I'm here with Heiner Fruhauf, and we are discussing the goose syndrome. One thing that I'm curious about, because we always look at then the traditional medicine as being the pharmaceutical. Here we have these strong drugs, they're going to go after, they're going to kill this, kill that, stop these symptoms. But Chinese medicine, holistic medicine, is kind of viewed more as, it's nice, it's balancing, it's fine, but has it, during these kind of pandemics, is it then powerful? Has it been used in pandemics before? Is it something that Chinese medicine really shines in?
Yes, this is an excellent question. It came to me a little bit as a surprise, even as a scholar of the medicine, that Chinese medicine not only does deal with pandemics, but one could even say that it is evolved on the before the backdrop of multiple pandemics in Chinese history, starting with the creation of the so-called Huangdi Neijing, the Yellow Emperor's Classical Medicine, which was written or compiled approximately 2,000 plus years ago, and then the so-called Shanghanlun, the treatise on disorders caused by cold in the second century, which was the first herbal primer, to these Gu texts that we mentioned from the 17 and 1800s is a long line, really, of outstanding physicians who, in the aftermath of severe pandemics, where literally millions of people died already at a time when China had maybe 10% of the population it has now, then these doctors, they wrote down their experience for generations to follow. So I've particularly looked at texts by the so-called epidemic school from the 1700s and the fever school of the 1800s, which almost exclusively dealt with pandemics. And out of that came also these formulas about the Gu syndrome that we were just talking about, and that we were using quite a bit in the process of the last year and a half. And so Chinese medicine, in a nutshell, has a history of working with epidemic situations and working with them very successfully. And on this website you mentioned earlier, classicalchinesemedicine.org, we have an information page about how the Chinese, after a month, when they realized that Western medicine alone wasn't really doing much for this particular virus, how they used in 100% of cases Chinese herbs for people who were hospitalized with COVID. And while we, of course, don't know that these numbers are 100% accurate, but even if you quintuple them, it's so many less death numbers than we were experiencing here in the United States. And from my perspective, the most important factor there is the use of Chinese herbs. And the herbs they were using was primarily based on this research that had been done by these fever school, Gu school, epidemic school experts in the last 400 years.
So, and that is such an important point, is that we are so used to, like I mentioned earlier in the interview, you go after one cause and that cause is creating this whole scenario. But in Gu syndrome, what you're looking at, and you mentioned in a prior interview that it's kind of like oil seeping into flour, which means that it's not like you can just go and attack that piece of flour, because the oil is disseminated throughout the whole flour. So you have to then work more on the constitution of the individual instead of just going after one factor like the virus.
It is one of the specialties and the characteristic of epidemic pathogens, not really just the coronavirus, but everything that came before and pathogens that are much more deadly than the coronavirus that, different from a regular kind of flu virus, they immediately go deeper to the nervous system, giving people neurological symptoms, or even deeper to the blood vessel system, giving people strokes and heart attacks. And so that is the, and once it's that deep in the system, then one cannot just kind of, and that's the metaphor, like take a spoon or so, and remove it like a pearl out of that fell into flour. But it's very much like oil that is combining with the flour. And now it's one with the flour, and you can't just easily separate them. So you need to constantly support the body's own immune system, calm down overreaction, supplement deficiencies, while removing or giving pathogens that have entered deep into the body the message that they are not welcome there, and that the milieu is really being changed so that they can't thrive in there. So that is sort of the insights that the epidemic school and the fever school of Chinese medicine and this Gu system approach have to offer for us in modern times, particularly for Chinese medicine practitioners, of course, who have access to this modality and can integrate that into our approach to our patients, including the ones we see now during and in the aftermath of the pandemic.
And when you deal with a pathogen such as this, or whether it's Lyme or a parasite or whatever it is, and it's developed into this complex, you know, syndrome, the Gu syndrome, is the key then to hit the pathogen hard and fast? I mean, really go after it strongly, or how should you address that?
I tell most of my patients who come in, which is, you know, come in after 10 years of feeling like they had the flu, or they were traveling in Peru and then they took some flagyl because they had this diarrhea, but their health has never been the same, that now that it's this deep in the system, we most likely will have to work 3 to 5 years on that to change the entire terroir, so to speak, the soil of the body that is a little bit like a farm. And once the whole body's pH, et cetera, has been adjusted, then these pathogens will naturally want to not be there anymore because the host is not welcoming for them anymore. So in an acute phase, of course, you can hit it hard and fast, but that is not Gu syndrome. Gu syndrome is something where something chronic is hollowing you out, both physically as well as mentally, emotionally, and so that your body, mind, your spirit have been affected for a long time, that you feel like I'm not the same person. I used to be an athlete. I used to be first in my class. And then all of a sudden now I'm in this situation where I can only lay on the couch and I'm completely brain fogged. I'm emotionally unreliable. I have these surging emotions, super depressed one moment, super anxious the next, and basically cannot function. So when we are at this state, then it is sort of like the slow food movement coming out of Italy, where you want to make things slow, because just like a tree growing in your backyard, you want it to grow faster, to have the shade, to have the beauty of the tree. But in the end, the laws of nature are such that you need to take pictures over a 10-year period of time, and you see the tree slowly grow. So in order to repair the nervous system cells and et cetera that have already been damaged in this degenerative process in Gu syndrome patients, one needs to slowly, slowly, slowly reverse that degenerative tendency. And that does take time, simply because that is how nature works. And those are the, is always part of the medicine for patients of mine that suffer from that, is that there's constant pep talks, that it'll take time. And within that healing period, there'll be ups and downs, which is perfectly normal. But instead of degenerating further and further, it is sort of reversing the process, stopping the degenerative process and making them slowly improve over time. That is sort of the goal.
Yeah, I love that. And the benefit with Chinese medicine, obviously, it's evolved over, you know, so many, you know, thousands of years. So you have that benefit of time versus then Western medicine that we as Americans and Westerners, we don't have that same patience. And it is important to develop that in order to be able to benefit from these type of medicine instead of just going hard in there and then causing more destruction because you are doing more abrasive therapies versus something that is then building up in the soil and the energy, recharging the immune system and building up the battery, like you mentioned, the kidneys and so forth. So, Heiner, it's been such a pleasure to have you on the show today. Thank you so much, and thank you for everything that you're doing to bring this type of information out there. And it's so, as I mentioned, it's so important, especially with what we're facing today.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Information this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not designed to diagnose or treat any disease. I hope this podcast impacted you as it did me. Please subscribe so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. There are some excellent shows coming up that you do not want to miss. If you're enjoying these podcasts, please take a moment to write a review, and please don't keep this information to yourself. Share them with your family and friends. You never know what piece of information that will transform their lives. For past episodes and powerful information on how to conquer Lyme, go to integrativelymesolutions.com and an additional powerful resource, limestream.com. For Lyme support and group discussions, join Tanya on Facebook at Lyme Conquerors Mentoring Lyme Warriors. If you'd like to know more about the cutting-edge integrative Lyme therapies my center offers, please visit thekarlfeldcenter.com. Thank you for spending this time with us, and I hope to see you at our next episode of Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt.